I was going to preach on that tonight, and the Lord led me in a different direction. If you want, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 7. But David had a heart for God. One of the things that's really interesting when you start looking through the Psalms is how many times it's emphasized about the nations, the nations, the nations. It wasn't just Israel. Now, remember when that was written, America didn't even exist. God was concerned about the nations. And the heartbeat of God is still for nations. He wants other people, all people, to be saved. Salvation wasn't just for the Jew only, but it was for the Jew first. To the Jew first, not to the Jew only. Okay, now let me throw another spin on it. It's not just to Americans only. It's to the nations. To the nations. There's a new count is that there's 38 million people in Canada. And we only have 350 independent Baptist churches. We need help. Now, in the first 10 years when I was in Kelowna, I know 9 guys that came and left. 9. The time that they spent going to college, the time they spent in preparation, raising support, and some of them stayed 2 years, 2.5 years, because they had a false impression that somehow you're going to come in there and all of a sudden, poof, you're going to have this instantaneous success. Well, there's a lot of skepticism about churches, let alone the evolution theories and so forth. That, and by the way, it's not even a theory. Don't get me going on it. I taught science. It doesn't even meet the qualification for a theory. Whole nother subject. When God saves a person, God wants some things back. Okay? I grew up on a farm. And we're going to look over at Matthew, if there's no further questions. Matthew, and let's go over to chapter 13, and just going to show a couple of passages for illustration, then I'll quickly give you a few points. But Matthew, so you know, when we get saved, we're saved to serve. We're to love the Lord, worship God, we can glorify Him, praise Him, we can do all those things in heaven. So why has He left us here? When I got saved, I remember saying, God, take me home with you. Why are you leaving me here? And the Lord started impressing on me, what about your mom? What about your family? What about your aunts and uncles and cousins? What about your friends and your teammates? What about your neighbors? There's others that need to be saved. And I like sports. I don't really get a lot out of watching it. I'd rather play it. But now, even though sometimes my mind thinks it's 20, once you get on the field and you start playing, it takes about 2 minutes to realize you're not 20 anymore. God saves us. Why did He leave us here? To reach others. It's that simple. So let me show you here this passage, Matthew chapter 13, familiar passage about the sower and the seed. And so we're going to drop down and we're going to start reading verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside, that trampled down area. I grew up on a farm. Okay, so you're going to plow the area and so forth, and then you're out, if you're doing it by hand, you're out throwing seed. Well, you want to get the seed where the good plowed up area is. But sometimes it gets over here on this side where, you know, you've run your tractor back and forth and people are walking and such, and that gets all packed down. Well, you're going to get very little product out of that. You want to get that seed over here where it's been plowed, where the soil's been readied. Verse 20. But he that received the seed in the stony places. So I can remember many times taking our tractor and a trailer and going up and we'd throw a bunch of rocks. The frost had brought up the rocks. And so we'd go out there and throw all those stones on the trailer and then take them over to the fence line and we'd dump them all along the fence line. You want to get that soil good so it can be more productive. Stones do not taste good. I would not encourage you to allow your children to teeth on one either. And he says there, the seed into the stony place, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, it means immediately, with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a little while, or for a while, and for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by is he offended. He stumbles, doesn't understand, why is all this problem happening to me? And there's folks like that. They got saved, but they run into some trials and troubles and can't comprehend it, not trusting the Lord through it. And lo and behold, they're not productive. Well, verse 22. Also, he that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the world, and he becometh unfruitful, not productive. There were things that came in the person's life that they focused more on making a living and making money and trying to get ahead on everybody else. The more I get, the more successful I am. The more stuff I have, the more successful I am. It's covetousness. We're supposed to be using what we have for God. When I played sports, I threw my all into it. They'd call me Mean Madel, the machine, the animal. No one ever said I was a fanatic. When I played sports, I threw my all into it. I'd torn out my knee, put on a brace. One of the fellas that was on my school team, his dad was a knee surgeon. He looked at my knee, says, "You need to let me schedule surgery for that." I said, "Can't do." He said, "What do you mean you can't do it?" I said, "Semifinal championships up." I said, "Nuh-uh, we ain't doing that." He said, "You're crazy. You can't play on that knee." I said, "Watch me. I'll put a brace on it. I'll play." Well, he said, "If you make it through that game, will you let me do it?" I said, "No, then we're going to the championship." He said, "Kind of confident, aren't you?" "Yeah, we're going to win. I don't play to lose, okay? I'm going to give my all in it. I'm not going to play dirty. I've never been a dirty player, but I'm going to give my all into it." We ended up winning the championship. He said, "Well, if you make it that far, will you let me will you let me operate on your knee?" "No, can't do. Wrestling season starts." I ended up putting that thing off for 10 years, and I'm glad the technology greatly improved. Now, if I could give my zeal and my energy to sports or my zeal and energy, I was studying to be an accountant, had 2 years of accounting. Accountants make pretty good money, right? I realized God's not going to be impressed. How many times I had my name written up, how many times you see my name on plaques and trophies and so forth, still in my high school. All-American wrestler, woohoo, big deal. It means just at that time, that year, you happen to be pretty good and won. That's all. The difference between a good wrestler and a champion wrestler is about that much. It's astonishing how people go berserk over sports. You ever watch the downhill skiing? "Whoa, and so-and-so won by 2/100th of a second." Yeah, it's about that much of a ski. And they're going berserk. It's crazy. And people, you know, was God going to be impressed how much money I could sock away in my bank account? David had a heart for God. If we have a heart for God, the first great commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, right? I must be about my Father's business. He's to have the preeminence. Is that evident in our life? When we get saved, there ought to be such a change in our life that people see something's different. I got saved. People started coming up to me. I wasn't even in church yet. I didn't go. I got saved in March. Didn't start going to church till the last Sunday in August. And that was because I needed to get baptized. We talked about that. You ought to, after you get saved, you ought to get baptized. If you're not a member in a church, you ought to get in church. That's like saying I'm going out for the football team and you don't join the team. That's like saying, "I'm going to work," and you forget to put on your pants. That's not good. Don't be Einstein. That guy used to go to work sometimes, forget to put his pants on. Hey, if you're saved, you ought to be involved. You ought to be in a church, jumping in, getting, doing things. Amen. If I could be as zealous as I was for self, sin, and Satan, I ought to be at least as zealous for the things of God. And don't be concerned if somebody says you're a fanatic. You know what I learned a long time ago? They call you a fanatic for being excited about Jesus. You just mark it down. That just means you love Jesus more than they do. Yeah. It's not complicated. It's pretty simple. But how much do you love Jesus? We're supposed to love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength. He's to have it all. "Well, Lord, I got all these other things to do." You're not bringing forth fruit. You're not being productive. You got sidetracked. Now, I've taught this. If you're an X-ray tech, you ought to be the best Christian you can be that happens to be an X-ray tech. Get it in the right order. If you are an avionic tech, we had an avionic tech in our church up in Canada. That guy was sought out by people around the world, different companies. He said, "The only reason why I don't go is because of the church. This church has helped my family. I'm going to live for God. Okay, if you're in avionics, you'd be the best Christian you can be that happens to be in avionics. You see the order? If you're a plumber, you'd be the best Christian you can be that happens to be a plumber. There's a proper order here. It's not complicated. People aren't fed up with Christianity. They're just fed up of a poor imitation of it. First things need to be first. Now look on at this. I'm just meddling. I'm warming up. Let's go. It says there, verse 21. Verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and become unfruitful. But really, the cares of the world, what's that mean? Well, I'm more concerned about what's going on here than about what's going on in heaven. I'm more concerned, will everybody like me here more than I am, is Jesus pleased with me? We ought to live our life for Christ. Not live our life for ourselves and then blow the smoke in the Lord's face. And by the way, you still alive and you say, I'm old and I got problems. You ain't dead, so God ain't finished with you. Yeah. Amen. I was talking at lunchtime about Brother and Mrs. Statsny. He used to pastor up in Montrose Trail area in B.C. and retired and came down to Faith Baptist Church, back to his home church. They said, we're not finished. There's stuff we need to do. They talked to Brother Boyle. They said, Pastor, can we start a club for the seniors? We're going to call it AND, A-N-D, Adults Not Done. There's stuff to do. You're still here. There's stuff to do. So look for things to do. Talk to the pastor. Let's focus on my Father's business and do all we can do in the time that he's left us here to do. Amen. It's not complicated. I like this. Look, verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. Are you listening to what God says? You know, God didn't give us the Bible for our entertainment. Sometimes when I preach out of Mark chapter 5 about the wild guy that came out of the tombs, the maniac of Gadara, the new dude in a rude mood, about those hogs committing hogicide going into the water, you know, and how they were more concerned about the pigs than they were about this soul that now sitting in his right mind, and now he's productive for the community, he's not a threat. They should have been more concerned about that guy than the pigs.
Yeah.
We're more concerned about putting money in our bank account than lost souls. When's the last time you begged God to use you to see someone get saved?
Amen.
Oh, God, I got this material need and that material need and this, and we ought to bring all our cares. I'm saying, when's the last time you wept and begged God for someone in your family to get saved? Or your neighbor? Or will your neighbor say, no man careth for my soul? Somebody needs to go tell them. We ought to live like Christians, but we ought to be talking like Christians. So notice, what is it that what was desired? Why did this sower of seed go out in the area and sow all that seed? Why did he do that? You ready? He wanted produce. He wanted fruit out of that. Look with me over to Matthew 7 for a moment. Matthew 7. I'm going someplace and I'll get there real quick, okay? Matthew 7. And look at verse 15 down through 20. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Fruits. Let's say a fruit tree. If you've got a pear tree, what do you expect off of that pear tree? Somebody help that lad in the back. If you have an apple tree, I expect apples. If I have a banana tree, I'd expect bananas. I've grown grapes. When I grow grapes, I expect grapes. Well, this matter of being fruitful as a believer. Look on here. He says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns? Do you go to a thorn bush looking for grapes? No, I go to the thorn bush looking for thorns. I go to the grapevine looking for grapes or figs of thistles. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. So let me stop there and ask you, where's the evidence of good fruit? Every tree, there's no exceptions. Where's the fruit? Where's the production in our lives for Christ? He didn't save us so we could continue doing our own merry thing. He saved us to be productive, fruitful believers. Look at verse 17, the latter half. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So that's pretty clear. I'm supposed to be productive. I'm supposed to be fruitful. Now, I don't know about you, but I like fruit. I like fruit. I like bananas. I'll tell you what, I like bananas. I'm going to eat one right now. Anybody else like bananas? Hey, want a banana? My mom said I wasn't allowed to talk with food in my mouth. So, and I really like grapes. Man, I like grapes. Say, what are you going to do with those, Brother Madel? I'm going to eat them. What do you do with your grapes? I like oranges, but I'm not going to peel that and eat it because it gets too sticky. I like fruit.
We got to try these. These are good.
I'm a Walmart shopper. I don't care what other people think.
These are
nice and big. Everything's bigger in Canada. Forget Texas. Where's my brother? Have you ever been in a restaurant and you looked over at the grapes and went, man, those are good, only to find out they were plastic? We had an apple tree. We had several apple trees in our backyard when we were up in Kelowna. And I saw that tree and I pruned it. Man, it produced, I mean, these gorgeous apples. You know, you're looking at it and your mouth's starting to water. You're just thinking how good that apple is. Look at that. It's like a perfect apple. And I got that thing and I bit into it nice and crispy. I don't like those ones that are all mush. Okay? I bit into that thing, man, nice and firm. And I'm chewing and chewing and chewing. I thought, there's no taste. It looks good, but there's no taste. You might as well drink a glass of water. So I went and asked a couple people that I knew that grew trees, orchards, and so forth, and they couldn't figure it out. You know what I ended up doing with that apple tree? I cut it down. Because it wasn't producing the kind of fruit that I wanted. I'm supposed to be fruitful. I better be bearing fruit, and I better be bearing the kind that pleases the Lord. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves. You say, well, I'm producing fruit, kind I like. These are really good. I'm eating in front of everybody. My mom would smack me. Those are good. Pastor, that guy behind you, he's drooling. That big eighth grader. We're supposed to produce fruit. Look with me over to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And here John the Baptist is preaching. Matthew chapter 3. And the first point I want to bring out is this matter of fruit unto repentance. Notice what it says here. Chapter 3, beginning in verse number 5. Then that's chapter 4. Chapter 3, there we go. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And there is wrath. God's not pleased with sin and rebellion of man. He's holy, he's righteous, he's just, he's loving, he's merciful, but he's also a God of justice. And a God that will bring judgment. We have a way of escape through Jesus Christ. And each man, woman, and child is accountable to come to Christ. Jesus died for all the sins of the whole world. There's no excuse other than they hadn't heard it yet. That's our fault. We should be doing everything we can to tell everyone around us. It doesn't say that we're supposed to force people to believe. We're supposed to tell them. Give me your testimony. You know, how did they do it back in the Bible day? They didn't get a wagon load of scrolls. Okay, here they come. Oh, watch out. Here comes that nut. Word of mouth, they started talking. They defeated Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. What'd they use? Their testimony. Tell them what happened to you. The maniac of Gadara, he went out throughout all the region of Decapolis telling how the Lord had been compassionate to him and what God had done for him. Yeah. And he didn't go off to Bible college or cemetery. He came out of a cemetery, but he didn't go into a cemetery. We're supposed to be telling people about Christ. Yeah. Now notice on what he continues here. He says there in verse number 8, bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. You know what that simply is? That there ought to be genuine sorrow for your sin, a humbleness and a brokenness, and that you're willing now to submit to God. There's your repentance. Repentance simply is a change of mind resulting in a change of conduct. You know God repented? When Nineveh repented, when God saw Nineveh repented, God repented. It's a change of mind resulting in a change of conduct. God was going to bring judgment. When he saw that they repented, God refrained from bringing judgment. Yeah. Faith and repentance go hand in hand. Repentance toward God, faith toward Lord Jesus Christ. I remember saying, God, I know I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. What do I got to do? And as God showed me that, I don't have to do anything. Jesus did it for me. He already paid for my sins. Now, it's faith in my efforts to produce a lot of good works that are nothing but rubbish. Or I'm going to put my faith in Christ and what he did. He's the Savior, not a church, not a pope, not some priest. He wants everyone to call him Papa, but he dresses like Mama. No, we're not supposed to do that. Good grief. We got our own little religious traditions, don't we? Second thing I want you to see, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, right? Love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance. Is that evident in our life? Are we producing the kind of fruit that God wants? When I got saved, I was broken. I know God forgives and God forgets. Sometimes we don't. To think of the things I used to say. There's things today I'm afraid if I went that way, God would kill me. And yet there's some of God's people who think you can just go off and do your own thing. No, there ought to be a godly fear of the Lord. He's holy. He's just. He's no respecter of persons. Listen, you know how God deals with us? He speaks to us, and then he spanks, and then he scourges, and then he separates. You don't want to. Come here. You're going to behave like that? Come here. I'm going to talk to you face to face. Now, I'm glad the Lord died on the cross to pay for our sins, but we don't get away with doing wrong. Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit that the Lord wants? Well, that only comes with yielding. Yeah. Yielding to God and asking God to change you. The fruit of the Spirit. And when people see that change manifested in your life, they can't imitate it. We're never going to be able to beat the world at all the games and the flashes and the movies and all that kind of stuff. We're never going to beat them that way. By the way, it's not a competition with the world. We need to be Spirit-filled people so that folks see the difference in us. Let me tell you about a young man named Stu Scapers, 13 years old. Stu got saved, started living for God, got baptized, joined the church, got living for the Lord. I ended up working for his dad. His dad was telling me the testimony of Stu Scapers. And he said, you know, I watched my son. And he said, it got to the point. He said, my son talked to me about Jesus. And I love my son, but I didn't want nothing to do with his Jesus. Because he said, I was raised Catholic. He said, but I couldn't deny it. Look what Stu has in his life. I want that. That's the right kind of fruit. The world can't imitate it. We need to be that kind of Christian. The fruit of the Spirit. Number three, the fruit of following Christ. Go with me to John chapter 15. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. Are we following the Lord? You know, a lot too often we try to make ourselves. Let God make you what he wants you to be. It's just yielding and surrendering to God and then saying, Lord, I submit. I can't live the Christian life. I need your help. Now, you're hearing me right now. I want to tell you something. I used to be an introvert. How many don't know what an introvert is? Okay, an introvert's one who's just quiet, doesn't like to talk to people. My wife says, God created a monster, can't shut you off. She said, my husband can strike up a conversation with anybody. Just about. I beg God to help me. Before I got saved, I'd just soon punch a guy in the mouth and talk to him. Yeah, all you need is a hat knocked off or a chip on your shoulder. Here, let me help you with that. I had a bad temper. God, you need to change me. Lord, I love you, but God, you said we're supposed to love your neighbor. God, help me, because I don't know how to love my neighbor. We're supposed to even love our enemy. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one toward another. Is that evident? It's astonished me over the years how I see God's people fussing with each other, and you'd put up with 25 times as much at work than you do with your fellow brother. Well, wait a minute. Who's creating the division? Well, the devil's trying to divide God's people. Where's the fruit? Temperance, self-control. Where's the fruit? Where's that love for one another? We cannot live the Christian life in the power of the flesh. Right. You need God to make you. How's that going to happen? Follow me, Jesus said. I will make you. He'll work on you. And he doesn't stop there. He said, I'll make you to be a fisher of men. Soul winner. A witness for Christ. If I follow him. So that means we got to get following him. If I'm following Jesus, I'm going to be after souls. If that means giving my testimony, taking a New Testament, sitting down with someone, handing out a gospel tract, inviting someone to church, I'm going to be focused on my Father's business. Where's the fruit? Let's use this one. This one's bigger. Where's the fruit in your life? See, some of us, I wish I could eat all these right now. Some of us, we're like this, you know. Well, there's a little in there. Now, let me ask you, really. I mean, if you grew grapes, which one of these would you rather have? Are you giving this to the Lord, or do you want this produced in your life? He gave his all. He gave his best. Isn't he deserving of our best? Well, those young people, you know, this, that, and the other, and so forth. Wait. Examine yourself. What kind of example are we setting for young people? We're supposed to be living epistles. But in John chapter 15, beginning in verse number 1, this is dealing really with a fella having an orchard. And when it talks about pruneth, it's purging, it's talking about pruning. And if you prune out the dead wood, it allows more fruit to come forth. Sometimes we just need to allow God to prune out things in our life. I love sports. It was my idol. I allowed God to prune it out of my life. I never had short hair till after I got saved. I allowed God to prune it out of my life. I allow God to change the clothing that I was wearing. I allow God to change the music I was listening to. I wanted to please the Lord, and I wanted to be fruitful. Amen. Look on here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, we want God to do with us as we are, and sometimes God says, no, I need to change you so you can bear more fruit. Let him change you. Amen. Let him change you. He knows what he's doing. Verse 3. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Abide in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in me. If I pluck off the rest of these grapes, you know what? That's been plucked away from the vine. No matter how much I hope that there will be more fruit come off that branch, nothing's going to come off of it because it's been detached from the vine. If you don't stay in God's word and allow God's word to get into you, you will never be fruitful. If you're not yielded to the Lord, you will not be fruitful the way God wants you to be. God wants us to be fruitful. Are you like this in your life or like that? I won't be like that. Before I got saved, it was like this. And I want more than just a couple on. I want it full for him. Look on. He says there in verse number 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Not barren or... Look at verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Much fruit. Amen. Much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. It's interesting. The Bible says that they were called Christians. Who were? The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. There's a difference biblically between saying, I am a Christian because I trusted Jesus. Listen, you may be a believer because you've trusted Christ, but do we line up to what the Bible says as a Christian? There's about half a dozen things in the scriptures that God said, Jesus said, you must do to be my disciple. The disciples were called Christians, not merely the believers. But we'd rather be called Christian than heathen or carnal. There's a difference between a carnal believer and a spiritual believer. The carnal believer tends to create fruit like that. The spiritual believer produces different fruit. Shall we go on? Good. Hebrews chapter 12. Well, you know what? We're not going to turn to that one. I'll just quote it to you. Go with me over to Philippians chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 12, the next fruit I was going to show you was the fruit of chastening. The Bible talks about chastening brings forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Living right, doing right. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. That doesn't mean I have a license to do wrong, to be sinful, or to be rebellious. So we're all supposed to be following Christ, and if we're following Christ, we're going to be after souls. That's not complicated, is it? Amen. What kind of fruit are we producing when it comes to soul winning? Am I sowing the seed? If you're not sowing the seed, you're not going to get a crop. We got to stick to it, stick to it, stick to it. It takes work to break that ground, praying for people, weeping for people, but be sure you won't come back without any fruit. If we'll meet the criteria that the Lord said, it will work. Philippians. I'm in Romans for some reason. But in Philippians, the church at Philippi, you ready for this? The church at Philippi was really the only church up until this point, or really the only church that we know of that supported the Apostle Paul in his mission endeavors. Wouldn't you like to have gotten in on that? Now, let me show you Philippians 4 and verse 19. We like this. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Every one of God's promises, there's his part and there's my part. In this part, he says he's going to provide my need. What's my part? Well, let me take you back a little bit and look at verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me, talking to the church of Philippi, helped Paul. Your care of me hath flourished again. That implies that they'd done it before, more than once. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You know, far too often, and I'm going to put it this way, particularly in America, but it happens in Canada, too often in America, we equate our spiritual well-being by our material wealth. Wait a minute. Both how to be full and to be hungry? Go without food? Because you don't have any money to buy it? Both to abound and suffer need? Jesus had no place to lay his head. What, was he not right with the Father? We need to stop that. Well, look at all the material stuff I have. God must bless me. Well, you know, when I read through the book of Revelation chapter 3 and it talks about Laodicea, it sounds to me like the church at Laodicea were loaded. They had it all. The church of Corinth had wealth. But what did God say about the church at Laodicea? You're lukewarm. I want to spew you out. You know what the word spew means? Now, I'm going to be just straightforward. It means to toss your cookies. It means to puke, to vomit, to upchuck, whatever other analogy you want to give it. Church members that make God sick. The church of Laodicea attributed their wealth and their prosperity and their ease of life to somehow having spiritual success, and it was the exact opposite. If I'm following the Lord and doing what I ought to be doing, there's going to be the right kind of fruit. Examine ourselves. Coming to church is great, but coming to church, to a church meeting, let me correct it, to a church meeting is good. It will help. But you got to make decisions on how you can be more fruitful. What areas do you need to yield to the Lord in? Well, let's go on here real quick. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, verse 14, notwithstanding ye have well done. He's staying to this church of Philippi. That, by the way, it was one of those churches of Macedonia, and you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, that they were going through much affliction and poverty. And yet he said, you've done well. I want to hear well done, don't you? Yeah. And that you did communicate with my affliction. What do you mean communicate? Verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when he started his ministry, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. That church of Philippi, who was going through all kinds of afflictions, they kept trying to help the Apostle Paul. We're going to send you some more. We're going to send you some more money. We want to get behind you. We want to support you so that you can go out and tell Gentiles. Is there any Jews in here? I love the Hebrew people, by the way. I've been to Israel 4 times. I'm not a Jew. I'm glad God didn't just love the Jew only, but God so loved the world. He doesn't just love Americans. He loves Canadians too. He said, concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because of desire to gift. I desire, watch this. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You want to be fruitful? Here's another way how you can do it. Missions giving. Yeah. I give. Every one of us is supposed to do our part. Just imagine if every one of us would determine, I want to be a fruitful Christian. I want to be a fruit-bearing child of God. I want to be productive. I'm to be about my Father's business. Now, if you had a business and you had employee number one that did half the work that employee number two and number three were doing, how long would you keep employing number one? If we would work the same way we work for our bosses, with as much zeal and energy and commitment, man, what could get done for Christ? Amen. What kind of fruit will we start seeing? If we would pay as much attention to the scriptures as we do to the movies or to the sports teams, how much more would we learn about the Bible? If we would spend as much time in prayer as we do on our cell phones, how many more answers to prayer would we have? I'm just asking, where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? You got to watch out for these lowly, meek, quiet Canadians. They'll sneak up on you. Where's the fruit? I don't know about you. I can sit back and look and go, look at what God did in my life. And God's no respecter of persons. I can remember Pastor Pennell getting up and preaching about the instructions in the scriptures and the promises in the scriptures and that they weren't just for the preacher. And I thought, glory to God, they're not just for him. God, you work in my life. God, change me. What are we allowing in our life that robs us of more fruitfulness? What are we refusing to trust God with and yield it to Him so we can be more fruitful as believers? Where's the fruit? And by the way, you know something I noticed? There's fruit that starts growing. Others notice it too. And usually it's a delight to them. They don't want to go through the process of growing fruit. But even the world likes the fruit of a Christian, a Bible Christian, a Christ-like Christian. They like the fruit. But the only way to get it is to know Christ and to yield to Him. Now, are you a fruitful Christian? Does the Lord delight in us? You know, there's passages in the Bible that teach that God will delight in us. But there's criteria and conditions to that. Oh, I didn't say love. He loves us. Does He delight in you? I love all six of our children. I haven't always delighted in them. Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit of the Spirit? Evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Where's the fruit of witnessing? Where's the fruit? Do we give to missions? There's fruit that'll be attached to your account. Can I tell you one more? Sometimes we go out and we do stuff and we never know what's happening with it. I started a juvenile detention center ministry in Oklahoma City when I was in college. I had led a supervisor to the Lord and her daughter. And then I asked and I talked to her about baptism, and they all committed to come. And I said, by the way, what do you do for work? And she said, well, I'm a supervisor at the juvenile detention center. I said, really? I said, do you ever get any preachers that come? She said, none that'll stay. I said, you want one that'll stay? One that'll stick? And I ended up lining it all up. And then as I walked out of her apartment, her daughter was in there. As I walked out of her apartment, I thought, Lord, please give me somebody to go with me because I don't have a car, and that's on the other side of town. And the Lord worked that out. We saw literally hundreds of young people that came to know Christ as their Savior. And we sat back and we said, you know, I said to him, it ended up becoming my brother-in-law. I said, Bill, do you ever wonder if these teenagers really mean it? I said, how about we pray and ask God to show us whether they mean it? And that was in November. Well, by the end of November, we started getting cards and letters and so forth. Hundreds of them. Of young people who gave testimony how they got into a good Baptist church, they got baptized, they broke up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend because they wouldn't get saved and start living for God. Young people got things right with their parents. There's fruit. By the way, it took time to go down there, and it took time to pray for them. It took time to love on them. But there's fruit we're going to see when we get home to heaven. Amen. Tell you another one. My wife's the oldest of seven. My wife is so sweet. Opposites attract. She's so sweet. My wife is the eldest of seven children. When her parents used to live in Elmwood, Colorado, just on the outskirts of Denver, there was a young 13-year-old boy. He says, you know, he would say, I'm a Mexican, but he's actually American. That happens to be Mexican descent. But he decided, I want to serve God. Surely there's something I can do. And he started working on a bus route. And he saw my wife and her little brother and went to mom and asked if they could come on a Sunday school bus. Would you guys like to come to church with us too? And mom and dad said, no, I'll tell you what, though, we'll drive in. Long story short, mom and dad got saved. And what that young man didn't know is down the road, there'd be seven kids that would grow up in that home. And all seven of those kids are serving the Lord today. There's four boys. They're all preachers. The oldest of those boys is in the middle of the air right now on his way to Zimbabwe, Africa. He's an evangelist. There's one of those boys, the baby brother, who's up in British Columbia pastoring a church. My two oldest daughters are up there helping him. There's another young boy. He's not a young boy anymore. He's a man. He's pastoring in northern Las Vegas. About every 6 weeks, he says, man, we got to get out of here because it's nuts. And they take a couple of days and just leave. There's another one of those boys that's pastoring east of Dallas. All four of those boys are preachers. Those three girls are all serving the Lord. Two of them are married to preachers, one of them to me. And the other one, she's up now in Canada. She and her husband helping with a church plant. That young Mexican didn't realize the fruit the fruit. You teach Sunday school class. You don't know what'll happen out of it. You work a bus route. You hand out tracts. You plead and pray for people to be saved. And sometimes you don't know what happens. Just keep being faithful. There was somebody that handed out a bunch of Bibles in a school, a public school, back when you could do it. And a 10-year-old boy, 10-year-old boy, got one of those Bibles. And he kept it for 10 years, sat down and read it, and got saved. And he's speaking to you tonight. That fella has no idea the fruit that's going to be charged to his account. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. Yeah. There will be fruit. Where's your fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of soul winning and witnessing. Is there any soul winning going on? Any witnessing? Any praying for people to get saved? And what about missions giving? Every soul that gets saved, or people that get instructed and strengthened and sent out, there's fruit that's charged to your account. I don't know about you. I want to get involved in my Father's business. I want to see fruit. I don't want to be like this. I want fruit in my life. Amen. We all can choose. But one day we're going to stand before the Lord. I want to hear, well done. Well done. You think we'll hear well done if we become fruitful? But if we stay barren or produce bad fruit, do you think that's pleasing to the Lord? Let's be fruitful. Heavenly Father, thank you for these folks, for the pastor, for this church. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. Lord, not merely hearers, but to be doers. And God, that one day we might hear, well done. Lord, help us, use us to sow the seed of the gospel. Lord, that we do what we can to help edify and strengthen and disciple people. But Lord, help us to yield to you and allow you to change us and make us what you'd want us to be. Lord, that we would truly glorify you with our lives by bearing much fruit. Lord, pray each a blessing invitation. Help us, Lord, to do business with you as I turn it over to Pastor.
I'm going to ask Roxanne to just begin to play the piano. Our heads are bowed. We're in a spirit and attitude of prayer. We heard a great message tonight about fruitfulness. Are we fruitful Christians? Have we yielded and submitted ourselves to Christ and let him do his work in us? He said, without me, ye can do nothing. God spoke into your heart as the piano's playing and as people are praying. God spoke into your heart about this issue of being fruitful, then come to the altar right now or